The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Fantastic. Well, today you might be thinking, what the heck has that got to do with anything? Well, today we are going to continue to pursue our kingdom lives by having a look at the first six verses of Matthew 7 from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount was the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest ever preacher, amen? In one of the world's best auditoriums on the side of a mountain on the northeast shore of Galilee. I'd love to start this morning by asking the Spirit of God just to continue to speak to us. You know, He's been speaking to us already right through this service. He's been speaking to us since we rose from our bed and put some clothes on. But I want Him to continue to speak and move and bring transformation in these next few moments together. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your presence in our hearts. Presence in our hearts with us here today and in this place. And Lord, this morning, I'm holding on to the Scripture that You reminded me of during the week, and it's from Isaiah 55, verse 11, where it says, "So is My word that goes out from My mouth. It will not return to Me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So Lord, as we open Your word and hear directly from Your heart, I thank You that Your words will not return empty or void, and You will accomplish all that You want, all that You want it to in our hearts and our lives today and forever. And Lord, I also want to pray for our little people. I want to pray that they'll grow up loving You and they'll grow up loving Your church. Please grow them today as they sing and as they pray, as they relate to each other, and as they listen to Your word. I pray these things now in the wonderful name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, church, I wonder whether you've ever been in a situation where when there's somebody talking to you and they've got something on their face. It's quite awkward, isn't it? Now, I want to show you a picture of my son. And today's message is entitled Seeing Clearly. I don't know whether you can see that real well, but he's got chocolate ice cream all over his face. And I remember that particular day, and I remember saying to him probably about, no word of a lie, probably 10 times, "Mate, you have chocolate on your face and your arm and your T-shirt." Basically, he had chocolate everywhere. And he didn't care. He was just enjoying it. Or maybe you've seen this clip. This is just a great little clip just to introduce a little bit about where we're going today.
I mean, I don't get it, you know. I mean, maybe if they met me in person.
Yeah, you got a little thing in your...
Oh. Yeah. Get it?
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely love the social awkwardness and the social dynamic that takes place when somebody's got a little bit of Vegemite on their face. This week, we're obviously planning, thinking creatively about this morning. And Matt, he shared a ripper story that I want you to hear, a little bit of a story that he lived out. So why don't you share it, mate?
All right. Well, we were going... We're going looking at houses. This is probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. And, you know, as you do, you turn up maybe a little bit early for the home open because, you know, sometimes Perth properties, they move quick. So we turned up early and the real estate agent, she'd had the call of nature. So she'd obviously been to the bathroom. So we were at the door waiting and she came bustling out and she was dressed beautifully, nice pair of blue slacks and a red blouse. And she'd forgotten to do up her zipper. And her red blouse was just sort of poking out of her zipper. Yeah, really poking out of her zipper. So there's just Mel and myself there, and we we were kind of interested in this property, so we looked at her and went, woo-hoo. And we looked around the property. We were there for probably 25 minutes, maybe a bit more. Looked at every room in the place. She followed us around, told us all sorts of things. And as we're leaving, I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I said to her, look, I'm sorry. I've got to tell you, your zipper's undone. And your blouse is kind of poking out. And she just went, oh, my goodness. Oh, this is I can't believe this. And basically just disappeared. So as we're leaving, Mel turned to me and she said, you are so evil that you left it. You left it that long to tell her. And I started to feel bad for just a second. And then I looked at her and I thought, hang on. You didn't even tell her.
It's good, mate. Thank you for that. Yeah, good story. Oh, I love the social awkwardness when someone's got a little bit of Vegemite on their face. What do you do? What do you do when somebody has something on their face? It can be really awkward, can't it? Are you like Rachel and you just kind of go, honey, yep, and let it slide? Or are you like Matt and you wait? Or do you just leap in and say, hey, Jack, you've got chocolate on your face? And as I pondered these stories, a couple of things emerged to me over the week. And the first thing is, it's always really awkward. Do you find that? It's always really awkward. The second thing is, I also think your level of relationship often determines your response. Would you agree? And then thirdly, I'm convinced it's always better to say something, no matter how hard it is, regardless of how awkward you feel. Because if you don't say something, there is a person out there who might go through the rest of their day with their blouse sticking out of their pants. Now that is not good for anyone, right? So I think it's important that we do jump in. Now I'm sure that the real estate lady was very thankful to Matt. Maybe a little embarrassed, but mostly thankful. So let's have a look at today's passage. Let's jump in. And this might help you to understand a little bit of where I'm going this morning. We're looking at the passage entitled Judging Others, which is Matthew 7, verses 1 through to verse 6. So, Maddie, I'm going to get you to just to read that out for us, mate. Thank you. Please follow along.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Thanks, Matt. Well, contained in these six verses are a couple of what I call Sermon on the Mount tensions and paradoxes. You might have heard me on a number of occasions say there's a number of paradoxes contained in our passage today. And it concerns, obviously, us as Christ followers. It's almost like Jesus, in this particular sermon on a couple of occasions, is saying, you know, on the one hand, but on the other. So let me just say, on the one hand, you know, we need to stop hypocritically judging each other. But on the other hand, we need to do it humbly. Do you see the sort of the paradox? And I'm going to unpack that a little bit in a moment. But verse 1 says, do not judge, or you too will be what? Judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the first thing I want to talk about is hypocritical judgment. This is what I believe this passage is about, these first five verses. Now, judge here, if you look deeper into the word judge here means to analyze, evaluate, condemn, or avenge. Do you know anyone like that? Sure, we all have people in our world who are characterized by those things. What about Christians who have a critical spirit? It's what I call ugly Christianity. And unfortunately, with the rise of social media and the World Wide Web of information and the fact that anyone can publish anything, this ugly Christianity runs rampant across the internet and in our lives. It's everywhere. Faceless Christians who sit behind a computer screen firing off posts and emails containing godless judgment, godless judgmental opinions and attitudes. And guess what? You don't even need a computer to do this. We all know faceless Christians who are not prepared to go to the source and have a conversation, but for them it's easier and they would rather do it behind people's backs. I'm sure we've all experienced that before. Now, please don't hear me wrong, okay? There's a bit of a time out here. I'm not saying that you can't have an opinion and you can't have a particular position on a subject. And I'm definitely not saying that you can never approach us, you can never approach the leadership in this place to give us feedback. We welcome your feedback. But what I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, it's really about the spirit in which you deliver your feedback, your criticism, or your opinion. And it often gets nailed down and really siphoned down, basically, to the way that you go about it. And believe me, there is a huge difference. There's a huge difference between one who comes in grace and humility. One whose desire is to bring life into a relationship and conversation. There's a huge difference between them and to the one who comes and just spews criticism and hypocritical judgment all over you and all over the church. There's a huge difference. And I'm here to tell you today that there is one of them is way easier to listen to than the other. Would you agree? So what is Jesus saying? Well, what I believe Jesus is essentially saying here is, please don't be categorized by judgmental attitudes. Don't be one of those ugly Christians who has a critical spirit. Because the reality is that if you choose to be like that, it will boomerang back and hit you where? Hit you right in the face. Because the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you come down hard on others, that's going to happen. So next time when you're tempted to push the button, push that post button, to fire off that critical email or send that judgmental text or smash someone with those critical attitudes, remember this. You know, remember this. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then Jesus goes on to further illustrate why we need to stamp out hypocritical judgment. Now let me just go grab my other prop this morning. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Hey, Matt, there's a toothpick in your eye. And Matt is sitting there thinking and he's like, dude, you have a 4-meter builder's plank in yours. Church, this is how stupid we look. This is how stupid we look when we hypocritically judge one another. Now, obviously, Jesus is not playing optometrist here. He's trying to highlight the fact that we all have shortcomings or blind spots, or what I like to say, we all have our stuff. And he then goes on and he says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye." Can someone help me with my plank? Thanks, brother. He's saying, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly. See clearly, there's the title of today's sermon. See clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Thanks, mate. Thanks for helping me with that. Whew, it's pretty heavy. Notice the tension here, okay, church? Notice the tension. On the one hand, okay, on the one hand, Jesus is saying, do not be a judgmental hypocrite. But on the other, he is saying, humbly and lovingly help your brother or help your sister. Interestingly, these verses assume that we will take a risk with each other and we will have that, hey Scotty, you got a bit of Vegemite on your face. There's an assumption here that we will rebuke and we will correct each other and we will disciple each other, right? And that we need to do it with humility. We need to do it in a way that will bring life. And we do it gently and we do it lovingly. Because we are not to stand by and let our brother or our sister do whatever he or she wants, going off in all sorts of directions, allowing them to wine and dine with the devil. But we need to deal with our stuff first. Amen? So that we can do what? So that we can see clearly. And then we can speak the truth in love and we can speak the truth in grace. Now, church, this is not easy. You know, we're having a bit of fun this morning, but this is real rubber hits the road relationships and doing life together in community. This stuff's not easy. So how do we make sure that we bring life to our brother and our sisters, to each other, and not hypocritical judgment? I've got four things that I want to very briefly share with you. And the first one is this. A couple of things to encourage us. Is very simply, deal with your stuff first. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. See if I am walking around with a plank in front of my face. And lead me in the way of everlasting." You know, church, this is about growing in our kingdom lives. And can I encourage you just to continue to spend time with Jesus, to constantly pray that prayer when you're spending time with Him, to be reading His Word and asking the Spirit of God to grow you and to help you deal with your stuff. Church, we're all in the same boat this morning. We've all got our stuff. My stuff is 4 meters long. Man, I come before you humbly with my stuff. I haven't got it all together. None of us have got it all together. And that's why we need to look to the one who has got it all together, and that's Jesus. So today I want to ask, do you have any obvious planks? Any obvious planks stopping you from seeing clearly? Are you walking around like this? Can I encourage you to pick up the mirror, which is the Word of God, to pray that prayer and to take a good look? Is there anything there? Today's a good day to deal with our planks. Why don't we do it together? The second thing I want to say is that we need to test our motives. You need to test your motives. You need to ask yourself the question. We need to ask ourselves the question, why do I feel the need to highlight that speck in my brother's eye? It's a good thing just to stop and go, okay, why do I feel so passionate about letting this person know about his shortcomings? Am I genuinely concerned with their kingdom life, or does having a go at them by sending an email or a text or even having a go at them face to face, am I genuinely concerned with their kingdom life, or is this just going to make me feel better about myself? So we need to test our motives. The third thing is, what's your level of relationship with the person? There's this saying, and I don't think it's a biblical one, but I like it. It says, no relationship, no rebuke. No relationship, no rebuke. Have you ever had somebody sit you down, tear strips off you for something, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, you don't even know me? No relationship, no rebuke. It's also really good, because that's going to happen. If that hasn't happened to you already, it's going to happen. What I encourage you to do is go to the people that know you and test it with them. Say, hey, this person fed this back to me. What do you think? So go to someone who knows you so that they can actually, maybe you do have a blind spot, and maybe the person who knows you can say, hey, you know what? You are a little bit angry from time to time. I think that's a good test. I sincerely and really believe that we actually earn the right to speak into each other's lives. And we do that through relationship. So church, can I encourage you to be someone who loves deeply? Someone who loves deeply. Fourthly, make sure that your motive communication comes from a place of humility and love. Because again, I reckon a lot hinges on how we communicate and the spirit in which we deliver a message, or the message. So a couple of questions. What am I like when I need to let somebody know that they've got Vegemite on their face? Am I aggressive? Am I arrogant? Do I always come to a conversation like that without giving ground? Do I always need to be right? Do I hide behind emails and text messages? You know what, church? If we're going to do this and we're going to do it well, it has to be face-to-face. And again, this is really hard, because when you're in the heat of the battle, the last thing you do is kind of stop and go, all right, let me check all these things. What did Rod say? Oh, yeah, that first one. And then, something about motives. But a wise person thinks before they speak, right? So try to honestly look at what you're like in those types of situations. What is it hindering me from bringing life to that brother or that sister? So church, to wrap this up, if we are to stamp out hypocritical judgment in our lives and in our church, if we are to grow in our kingdom lives, we need to move from hypocrisy to humility. Amen? Now let's move on to a very, very interesting verse, verse 6. Jesus next addresses a problem at the opposite extreme of judging hypocritically, and it's what I call naive acceptance. He calls for the appropriate discernment of light and dark, right and wrong, life and death, because he knows that in the everyday world, disciples, you and I, people who have chosen to follow Jesus, We'll have to make regular evaluations and we'll have to make regular judgments. And this verse, you know, I don't have a lot of time left this morning, so I'd encourage you in your small group, there'll be small group questions around this. I'll throw it around there, dig and mine it. So I'm just going to do a really quick kind of overview of this next verse, because this verse seems a little disconnected and random. Could I have it up? That'd be great, Dave. Thanks. It seems disconnected and random, and the pictures here are interesting and somewhat provocative. And like I said, we don't have heaps of time, but I'm just going to do a little bit of an overview of this verse. Verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Would you agree that's an interesting verse? So, what's going on here? Well, I believe Jesus is urging us to use wisdom and discernment as we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. If you don't hear anything else, that's what I believe Jesus is trying to do with these verses. I think the metaphors here, I think the pictures in the verse are pretty obvious. And when I said provocative, I think they are provocative. You know, there's a picture of some wild dogs, some camp dogs, and there's a pig. And a pig, both kind of scavengers, both feed on flesh. And as I was doing a little bit of a reading, apparently they used to, in the ancient world, the pigs used to run freely all over the streets and were sometimes even known for taking little kids, which is pretty full on. But what are the metaphors? Well, the pigs and dogs here describe those who are enemies of the kingdom of God. Those who are hostile to Jesus and oppose his sacred and highly valued message, the gospel of the kingdom. And it's interesting, but back in Christ's day, who were those who used to oppose his message? The Pharisees, the religious leaders. I just find that really interesting. So, all that to say, it's unwise for us to feed dogs what is sacred, and it is unwise for us to throw our pearls in the mud for pigs to trample over. The tension here is, on the one hand, okay, back to this tension, because there's a tension going on here, right? On the one hand, Jesus is obviously not telling his followers to not preach to certain types or certain kinds of people. But on the other hand, he does recognize that after sustained rejection and reproach, it is appropriate for us to move on sometimes. We are to love our enemies, and we've looked at that. We spent a morning on loving our enemies in the Sermon on the Mount. And we are to keep declaring the rule and the reign of God by living out and preaching the gospel of the good news of Jesus into dark places. However, we need to see clearly. We need to be wise so that we can judge, so that we can discern whether or not we are naively proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to those whose only intent is mockery, ridicule, or even worse. So what does this look like for us? You know, we don't live in ancient times, you know. Our dogs are like little poodles named Dash, and our pigs are called Porky Pig, and we watch them on Saturday. You know, such a far removed metaphor from our experience. So how does it intersect us today? Well, I think sometimes we can waste our time, we can beat our heads against a wall when we're sharing with people whose hearts are just so hard. When people's hearts can't be penetrated with this sacred gospel of Jesus Christ. And then on the other hand, sometimes I think we can be a little overzealous and we can bash people across the head with the Word and the Bible, and we can forcefully share the gospel with people whose hearts are just not ready. And we actually do more damage by pushing people further away from the kingdom. So we need to be humble. We need to be gentle. And we need to be wise. We need to be wise as we share the kingdom of God. So how do we get wise? Have you ever thought about that? How do I get wise? Well, I want to suggest something that is not easy, but pretty straightforward. And it comes from James chapter 1, verse 5. We get wise by asking God to help us to become wise. James 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God." We should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So how do you get wise? We ask God. And how does this relate to this verse 6? Well, we need to use wisdom. We need to use discernment as we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Like I said, quick overview. There's lots of stuff going on there theologically. I'd encourage you to mine that in your small group, and there'll be some questions that'll go along with it throughout the week. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to give you just a few moments and a little bit of space just to reflect. And you can do that if you want. You might like to bow your head. You might like to close your eyes. And by doing that, you're just kind of trying to shut out everything else that's going on, the screens, me standing here, this set of scales, the people around you. And for the next few moments, I want us to just focus on what the Spirit of God is saying to you. What is He saying to you? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Where does this message connect with me today? I wonder, how has today's message connected with your kingdom life, your everyday life, your roles as mother, as father, as son, as daughter, as uni student, as boss, as a servant? How is this message connected into your relationships? Am I bringing life? Am I bringing life, which is the kingdom of God, to my workplace, to my school, or to my uni? Am I bringing the kingdom of God into my street, my church? Or do I bring hypocritical judgment? Am I seeing clearly? Am I dealing with my stuff, my planks, my specs? Am I asking God for wisdom so that I can discern who I should share the valuable pearls of this kingdom with? I wonder what the Spirit of God has said to you today. I wonder how it will affect or change the way you live out your kingdom life. If you need to change something, can I urge you, can I encourage you to make that change? Decide to be the difference today. Decide to make the change through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for an extremely challenging word today. Lord, I pray that you would lead us by your Spirit as we look at what it means to live out your word in this kingdom life that you have called each and every one of us to. Holy Spirit, please give us the strength to change what needs changing and courage to pursue this kingdom life with all we have. Holy Spirit, help us to deal with our planks and our specks. Help us to be men and women who bring life and not judgment. Please also give us wisdom as we declare the rule and the reign of God right across this city, wherever you have us placed. And Lord, for those here this morning that have not yet decided to follow you, I pray. Pray with the faith that I have that you would continue to knock at the door of their hearts. And I pray that they would begin to see you and your kingdom more clearly. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, church.